Good afternoon, listeners and viewers. This is Ron Stefanski, and guess what? We're here with another episode of Disrupt Ed, where I get an opportunity to talk to the seemingly ordinary people out there who are doing extraordinary things. And you know the drill. We're talking about the disruption going on across all industries, AI, quantum computing, manufacturing. It's all different. It's all changing. It's all happening at warp speed. And then you have the rest of us trying to say, what gives? So we bring the seemingly ordinary people in here who actually help us to understand the impact. And with us today is an interesting story. This is the challenge I always like on Disrupt Ed. Get someone on the show. You hear what the episode's about and you go, Bridgestone Tires. Now, how could you make a story about that? What's interesting about that? But I'll tell you what, I've met a whole crew of people at Bridgestone. And these are people who are very excited about the work they're doing. And they have a reason to be, because there's a lot of great stuff going on that's disrupting their business. And they happen to be on a roll. They happen to be at the front of a lot of this. And so today's guest is a follow-on to our last episode. We're going to kind of do a series with these guys. And our episode today is with Will Robbins, who is the executive director, let me get it right, of strategic and product portfolio planning. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you got it right. It's a lot to say, yeah.
And here's the interesting thing, and we're going to get right into this. You know, Will spent 20 years at Bridgestone, and then a year or so ago, he left. And guess what? He's back. And I want to dig into that story, and we'll start by finding out what got you interested. Tell us a little bit about your origin story and what attracted you to the tire industry.
Sure. Thanks, Ron. So like a lot of, you know, kids, I grew up, you know, like wanting to be just like my dad, right? My dad was a mechanical engineer. He worked in the automotive space, really on kind of the commercial truck side. He worked for a company called Fleetguard Nelson at the time. They made filtration equipment for like Cummins engines. And so I was like, I want to be an engineer. I always liked math, always liked science, and was always kind of a gearhead growing up. So I loved motorcycles and cars. And so as I went to school for mechanical engineering, I started to think of how can I get part of the automotive industry? And the original plan was I wanted to work for an OEM. I wanted to work for Honda or Toyota or GM. And, you know, I graduated in 2004. Job market was still a little bit soft at that point. And I got this opportunity with, you know, I saw a posting for Bridgestone Tires in their technology development center in Akron, Ohio. And I looked at that and said, that's really interesting. I've seen Bridgestone Tires. I've ridden on them as a motorcyclist. Let's see what this is all about. And so I went and I interviewed, and just the people and the interest of, you don't just get to work with one manufacturer. You can work with all of them potentially and be this integral part of the automotive industry. That's really what got me in the door. And, you know, it's delivered on every bit of that over the years. So gotten to work with a bunch of the major OE manufacturers and really like understand how integral tires are to the transportation industry.
So let's geek out a little bit here and dig in a little bit more on the tire business. I think what people don't recognize is that one in every five vehicles, as I understand it, that are out there driving around are fueled by a Bridgestone tire system. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's
significant.
Yeah. And you know, we were talking about it a little bit before, but like, that's kind of the thing that gets me out of bed in the morning is knowing that like I can, you know, I walk across the street for lunch. I can look at cars parked on the street, cars driving by, and, you know, about 20% of those are going to have a Bridgestone or a Firestone tire on it. And it's the same thing in trucking. It's the same thing in big off the road tires, you know, airplane tires. There's really no part of that mobility industry that we don't hit. And it's just a point of pride to kind of be able to see your work every single day like that.
Well, you were talking also off camera about the fact that you're overseeing a pretty broad portfolio. Now you're in four different areas. You want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So my team really focuses on product strategy for what we call the core tire business. So primarily consumer products. So, you know, the cars and trucks that people drive every day, our truck and bus and retread business, which is all about, you know, mobility for fleets, you know, big trucks down to kind of waste vehicles, our off the road business, which is around like all the way up from giant mining products down to just kind of normal construction tires. And then our agricultural business, which has been around since the inception of Firestone and really like invented agriculture, you know, modern agriculture by providing tires to farm vehicles. So it's just it's a really interesting and diverse portfolio that it allows us to touch a lot of different parts of kind of, you know, everyday life.
You know, as I've been digging into this, a lot of our guests have come on to talk about some of the gobsmacking new technologies. And I was thinking as I was evaluating our conversations about Bridgetown, you know, where is that gobsmacking moment? And it seems to me one of the places I want to hit up with you and talk about is the EV world. Because I recently read somewhere that EVs are going to create the golden era of tires. And the reason why is because they chew up more tires than traditional vehicles. So is that true? And, you know, can you walk me through that a little bit?
Sure. And in general, in the passenger space, for example, we are seeing that. So there's a lot of factors that create that, but EVs are typically a little bit heavier, which tends to wear tires more. They have all that torque, which is really, there's a lot of sophisticated management by the computers, but like torque is torque. There's more load on the tires as people find out they can drive these things. They're pretty fun to drive. The other thing that people don't necessarily talk about, but influences tire wear a lot, is alignment. And if you think about something like a Tesla Model 3 or a Model S, those cars handle really well. They hide their weight very well. And there's some tricks that they do with the alignment, and especially the way that the vehicle moves through the alignment under load, that help them feel that way, that also create additional loading on the tires. So there's not one single factor, but it's a lot of different factors that are affecting that. And it's something on the forefront of our minds as we work with both OE partners, as well as to create products for the aftermarket, like our Bridgestone Turanza EV, that are kind of tailored to the needs of those customers.
Well, you know, for Detroiters, and I count myself among them, I grew up here, I was born here, and I returned here about 10 years ago. And you can't leave the city or enter the city without seeing the big Uniroyal tire. So we know here in Detroit that you guys matter because it impacts everything our manufacturers do. As you're thinking about this portfolio strategy, you're looking at product strategies that extend 5 to 10 years out. I mean, you're looking at the long haul. And one of the things that seems to me that has to be on your radar and roadmap is the fact that it's not only about building tires for new applications, new use cases like EVs, but it's also the sourcing, manufacturing, and ultimately, and potentially the circularity of the products we create. Can you share a little bit about some of those? I mean, that to me is the fascinating thing where Bridgestone's really taken off and really established themselves as a leader.
Absolutely. And yeah, there's been a lot of buzz in the industry about circularity, you know, material circularity, and really just making the best use of the materials that we use. So I think there's probably two ways that I can frame that up. And I'll actually start with a commercial example and get back to material circularity. One of the things that we have that's a real point of pride in our you know, kind of portfolio of businesses and brands is our Bandag brand. And so Bandag is the number one provider of retread solutions for commercial trucking market. And so if you think about, like, the way I think about sustainability is one of the most sustainable things you can do is have something that lasts, that you don't have to replace. And so what we do with retreads is there's commercial trucking fleets that apply new tires. They will wear the tread out on those tires. We're able to use the casing, put a new tread on it, and that casing will continue to live on over and over again, sometimes getting 3 or 4 different retreads based on the application. It's hugely sustainable. And especially for our big sophisticated fleet customers, it's a way that we can show sustainability, as well as it makes great business sense where they're able to have an asset that they can continue to use longer than they might normally use. So it's a great value proposition for those fleet customers. Thinking about more on the consumer space, we talk about EVs. So a couple of years ago, we launched a product called the Bridgestone Turanza EV, and it addresses all of those things like tire wear, noise, you know, dealing with the extra load that we kind of talked about that are relative to EVs. But one of the things that when we were releasing it raised the most eyebrows was it's also made with 50% renewable and recycled materials. And so the industry has developed some pretty sophisticated ways of having essentially chain of custody to show we're investing in sustainable materials. Here's how we're using that in specific products so that we can make a claim like that 50%. So you know, long term, our goal by 2050 as Bridgestone is to be 100%, you know, renewable recycled materials. This is a step on how we go on that journey to get there over time.
Well, and that's huge, right? I mean, people don't recognize this, but every car has four tires and they're ending up in a landfill or somewhere at some point. And so circularity, where you can build a product where it actually takes back most of its source materials and reconfigure them, either through retreads or other ways that we're going to look at circularity and companies are looking at circularity. I think that's why not only has it become a buzzword, but almost a business imperative for a lot of manufacturers now. And so when you look out to the future of this, where do you see the challenges in the road? Where do you see, wow, we've got to be very mindful of a couple of things here. I mean, we are looking at one of the big ones is obviously sustainability. We can't continue to thrive. Our industrial sector can't continue to thrive if we burn up the planet in the process, right?
Yeah, and I think I'll go back to that, the 2050 goal for 100% renewable and recycled materials. That's one of those kind of wildly important goals that we have to set, you know, at that point in the future. And then the real challenge for my team that's looking at the portfolio is how do we create a roadmap to get there? Because you're not going to go from zero to 100 and do that overnight. We have to make investments with our material suppliers so that they can make investments with their material suppliers in some cases, so that we create this whole chain of logistics so that we can get those materials fully sustainable kind of all the way into the products themselves. So kind of identifying where the best places to start for on that. And right now it's really around where are parts of the industry where customers are going to get the most value. Customers are willing to invest in our products. That way we can invest in our suppliers to make sure that they have the ability to invest in the infrastructure to ultimately build that sustainability into the chain there. So things like the Turanza EV are a great example where you've got still relatively small niche of really, really passionate people, some of which buy EVs because they're just nice to drive. Others do it for reasons like, hey, they want to contribute to sustainability overall.
They want to lower their carbon footprint, right?
So we can provide the value to them that then makes them feel good about what they're doing and, you know, helping reduce carbon footprint and so on. So it's really up to us, to my team, our marketing team, sales team, and R&D teams to figure out where is that value exists and go work with those people to implement these technologies kind of along that journey to 100%.
You know, you mentioned your enthusiasm for working with a lot of vendors, and I'm curious, as you're developing new technologies, you know, one of the things that people don't recognize, and I work with the Society of Automotive Engineers here in Detroit and in their headquarters in Pittsburgh, and we bring speakers in to talk about innovation in that sector. And one of the most essential characteristics to me is when someone has a child and they take them home, you guys are the ones that make sure they make it safely without question, without thinking about it, right? That's a very important consideration. As I listen to more of the disruption on the automotive side, you know, we're seeing it in a spectacular fashion. And we're now concentrating that effort in the Detroit area around the Michigan Central Innovation Campus. And I recently moved DisruptEd down there because there are all these mobility companies coming in and there are all these different use cases. So now ATVs are using different materials. Commercial vehicles are using different materials. Commercial robotic, you know, internal vehicles are using different materials. So when you work with the vendor community, SAE is one way by which standards are established, but what are some of the other ways that you mentioned you're really enthusiastic about your relationships with the vendor community. So maybe you can share a little bit more about, you know, how do you keep this all current? How do you keep your developments in front of them so they know, and you guys are not showing up with different understandings of what's coming next?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially as you mentioned, with all of the change, it's really critical to have common understandings, even if we ultimately find different ways to go to market. But I'll address it in a couple of different ways. You know, as an industry, we have the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association, USTMA, that is kind of like an SAE, but for the tire industry. So this is the whole industry getting together and trying to answer some of these big questions around how do high-level fuel economy regulations in specific places hit us? What do we need to be doing from a sustainability standpoint? And it's one of those areas where anytime you deal with something broad and sweeping like a societal type concern or a regulation, it's a much better idea to kind of understand how can we all like help guide these decisions and discussions together while still being competitors. So the USTMA is one way in which we do that. The other way is we spend a ton of time talking to and listening to our OEM partners that are building the vehicles that you talked about, as well as our retail partners. So everything from large, nationwide retailers all the way down to local, single owner operator type tire shops around. What are they seeing? What are their customers asking for? You know, we see high level economic trends, but what's really happening on the ground? And, I think one of the values that Bridgestone has is called Gembutsu Gemba. And it really means go and see for yourself, go to the site and understand yourself what's happening. And through conversations with our customers, we really get that pulse on what is the market saying. We can make assumptions based on data. Data is critical to what we do, but we have to have these conversations too. And those two things together are really what allows us to say, okay, here's what we believe is happening based on all these sources together. Now let's drive action based on that.
Makes a lot of sense. And as I've said, the theme that carries through here for me is the disruption being caused as new technologies are being introduced. And you're talking about a pretty big level of complexity when you're talking about an OEM community that's got its own rigorous standards and you're trying to sync up with that on a regular basis. You know what, Will? When I think about DisruptEd and I hear feedback from people about what they like about the show, there's two things they like about it. They like hearing about gobsmacking new technologies and innovations because they get to see it before it may, as it's just coming to market. But what they also tell me all the time is, Ron, I don't know how you do it, but you find the most interesting people and you kind of geek out with them. So I have really found this fascinating and I'm not done with you because one of the things I want to understand that I found fascinating about you and Rachel in our first episode is you guys are so passionate about your company and that's not by accident. So let's take a brief break and then we'll come back to episode two and we're going to talk about the workforce and the workforce culture that's fueling Bridgestone's, continued growth and success. To our listening and viewing audience, you've been listening to Will Robbins at Bridgestone. Stay tuned, get disrupted with us, give us your feedback, and come right back. Thanks for listening.